Good morning, Sally.
Good morning, Mardell. It's a beautiful morning.
It is a beautiful morning, but it's in the middle of the winter, and so we're not out gardening, but we're going to talk about gardening. And a wonderful thing has happened. We have had some questions come in for our audience, which is always nice, which I will give the reminder that we really do love to know what you want us to talk about. And so garden@khns.org is how you can communicate with us. And so please do, even if you don't have a question, you have a topic that you want us to talk about, that would be great, because then we can get somebody on who knows something about it. And so these questions that we got today, we could probably make three shows off of each one. But so we're going to kind of hit the basics of them. The first question, when one uses grow lights to help seed starts, if you have them in a sunny south-facing window areas, will just any electric light work on them, or are there specific types, and can you get them locally? Where do you buy them? Thanks so much. So what do you do for lights, Sally?
I use the 4-foot fluorescent tubes, and the tubes I use are the full spectrum.
So you actually get plant lights.
Light bulbs, mm-hmm. which are available here locally. And I have them hung from chains so I can adjust the height, which I think is important with those types of mm-hmm. lights. Mm-hmm. And I keep them really as close to the leaves of the seedlings as I can, mm-hmm. within an inch or so mm-hmm. as they grow. And that's about it. It's really not a fancy system, but I do think it's important to keep the light pretty close to the growing plants.
That was one of my frustrations and why I did not use lights very much. I now use lights because I use LED, and the LED lights, I find, do not have to be as close. So I started to do some research on this, and I became overwhelmed very quickly. So yes, go and do research on lights, but be prepared. There's a lot of information out there. And the LED technology, the good thing about LED technology is that they now can refine what spectrum. Plants need different spectrums. Some the vegetative growth uses mostly the blue light and the fruiting and state uses mostly red. And so you can actually get an LED light that is that promotes mostly growth or fruiting. But if you want to do just the simple thing, I have a shelf with that sort of light on it, vegetative growth, and I also have a shelf with just a hardware store LED light. And I have lettuce growing under them, and they both seem to be doing equally well. So that's my mini little experiment.
Great, yeah.
But the good thing about it is that you don't have to have them so close, is what I find. It was really frustrating to me at one point. You know, my one plant would grow faster than the other, and so I'd have one that needed to be...
Oh, absolutely. You know, and then if you need to get in there to water, it can be a pain to mm-hmm. move your light, so that would be another advantage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but do you use them on your seedlings?
I do.
It makes a difference.
The ones that are in the house. Uh-huh. And by the time I move my seedlings or start them out in the greenhouse, it's past the equinox, and
they
I feel like they get enough natural light. At any rate. So they're a great tool in the house, though. I don't really even have south-facing windows, mm-hmm. so mm-hmm.
Even if
really
you
important.
Do have a south-facing window, it's... they're going to be leggy, at least my experience is that no matter, I have really beautiful, big south-facing windows, and my plants still get leggy in the spring. There's just not enough light yet.
Yeah, they'll try to bend towards mm-hmm. the light, and if it's right above them, they can develop pretty mm-hmm. strong stems from mm-hmm. the beginning.
Yeah, so... So I think, so yes, you can buy, you can go to the hardware store and you can get an LED light, and you can just stick these new LED lights into your old shop light. Oh, we have a new gardener on the show with us today. You're hearing in the background. Has he been out gardening yet? He's only 2 months old, so
no,
I don't think he's been out gardening
yet. He's just been dreaming about it.
Dreaming about gardening. Okay, I think that's enough about lights. Oh, one thing I will say is that you probably know this, but LEDs are much cheaper to use than the fluorescents. And so that might be an advantage. There's an initial expense in getting those bulbs, but once you have them, they're much cheaper.
Yeah, definitely. I think if you're starting out making a system, definitely look into the LEDs.
Yeah, that's right. So, and another thing that you'll find that there are some lights that you can switch back and forth between the vegetative and the fruiting. You just turn a switch and the LED does different spectrums. So that's a nice thing.
I've also heard that you can use, so you could recycle your old compact fluorescent or the fluorescent tube type lights, that you can get LED tubes that work with the same ballast.
Right, and that's what I've done.
Okay.
Is I've just taken my same old shop lights that I used for my fluorescents.
So really and you just need to get the bulbs
just
at
got
that
the
point.
Bulbs, yeah.
That's great.
And the bulbs are really coming down in price now. They were expensive at one point, but they're pretty inexpensive these days. So, okay, so next question is...
let's see, a question about mulching. Is seaweed mulching a good way to keep down weeds in the garden, or will it just provide nutrients for the weeds to grow? Well, Mardell uses quite a bit of seaweed.
I do. I haul in a lot of seaweed, and I have for many years. So my experience is that, yes, seaweed will keep down the weeds if you put it on thick enough. If you put a thin layer on, what happens is it dries, and the little patches between where it dries will definitely sprout up weeds. So I put my seaweed on, well, let me say I used to put my seaweed on thick as a mulch. The reason I say used to is I don't use seaweed as a mulch anymore because I have found it to be an attractant to bears. They don't
really
eat it. Yeah, they smell it. And so that's not that big of a deal if you have it over a bed that doesn't have a cover on it. But I used to plant my broccoli or all of my coal crops, transplants, and then I'd put a nice layer of seaweed on it. I did that for 2 years.
And they said nori salad.
That's exactly what they said, nori salad. I think they got there and they were disappointed that it wasn't nori, that it was just old plain old pop rock weed. Because they never ate it, but they would tear down my hoops. So the one place that I use the seaweed mulch still is on my potatoes because they're not covered. And the bears will sometimes come and mess it around, and they're curious. I'm assuming they like the smell of it.
Yeah, it probably smells a bit fishy to them.
Exactly, yeah. So, but now what I do with my seaweed is that I put it in my compost pile, and that's how most of my seaweed gets into my garden.
Yeah, I love doing that. I feel like that provides air pockets in the compost pile for the structure.
It does, yeah.
And micronutrients.
Yeah, things that I've read about seaweed, there's not a lot of information out there about using seaweed because most people don't have the privilege to do it. I mentioned it to somebody, I guess it was down in Port Towns someplace, and they said, well, we couldn't think of just going out to the beach and getting seaweed. When you live in an urban area, you know, not everybody can go out and harvest seaweed. So we're really lucky to have that as a resource. One thing I wanted to say about, I was talking about potatoes. I just came from the Harvest Summit, or the Farmer Summit, and it was an interesting thing that several people are doing now with their potatoes when they harvest them. They cut off the tops, and they let them sit in the ground for a couple weeks to cure. They don't pull them out and harvest them and then let them sit. They leave them in the ground. So you cut off the tops, leave them in the ground for a couple weeks, which they're not going to freeze under the ground.
No, I think
likely.
That mimics more of a longer season harvest period where the plants might frost and die, but the tubers would stay
in the ground.
Which I did by accident this fall.
Oh, really?
With those really cold nights in the middle of September at my place, the plants just completely melted, then it took me a little while to get around to digging the potatoes out. And I haven't really noticed a difference in storage yet, but it was nice.
Were the skins a little thicker than if
yeah,
you
they
just
didn't.
Pulled them out?
They didn't have the problem of being fragile. I don't
right.
wash them
yeah.
right away, but Yeah, that was nice to do. You're not really in a rush to get them out of the ground if you have other things to do.
And yeah, that's the advantage to me is that my root cellar is not quite cold enough yet at that time of year, and so I would like to keep in the ground as long as possible. But, you know, cutting off getting rid of the dead plants and all that kind of stuff, it just kind of never occurred to me to leave them in the ground and go back and get them. My one word of advice would be to make sure that you leave some stalk there or something so you know where your potato plant was.
Yeah, so. And I suppose if you were worried about them freezing, you could cut the plants and then just lay the foliage on the ground as a cover.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so that's kind of an aside. So Suzanne, who some of these questions come from, said, what about other mulches? So what do you use for mulches?
Well, I don't gather seaweed just because I'm a ways from the beach. I would love to for compost like you do, so eventually I will. I have been experimenting with different plastic products, and I'm mindful to not use too much plastic in my garden, but there are a few choices you have for things that will last a long time, and you can reuse season after season. And IRT is infrared transmitting plastic that I use in my high tunnels for the real heat-loving crops like eggplants, peppers, and tomatoes.
So you just cut holes and you plant your transplants
right through them. And so be sure to lay your drip tape down before that. So
that's one downside for plastics for people who don't have any drip irrigation. It protects the soils from the heavy rains, but if you don't have rains, or I mean, even if you do have rains, it protects the soil.
It'll be harder to introduce water to the soil underneath there, but drip tape works really well in that application. And I can reuse those for years.
How many
and
years?
Well, I think the IRT pieces I have now are in the sixth year in my garden. So I expect about 10 years. And then I have also been using some more durable, heavier, they're like a woven plastic roll product.
Like a black
geotex landscape kind of fabric, it's called, or geotex style. And those are very durable, and I expect if you get the right kinds and you cut them in a way that they don't want to unravel. Then those would last 10 or 20 years.
And are you using those for walkways, or are you using those on beds, or what are you doing?
Both. I've been experimenting more with the walkways, but I grow my zucchinis through there.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. And this summer, I hope to do a little bit of experimentation with soil temperature between the different mulches.
Well,
that's something I don't know
about. It was interesting. I did a little bit of research on that. I have always found that clear plastic has worked the best for me in warming the soil temperatures. But, of course, the problem with clear plastic is the weeds love to grow through that. And so, but my research was definitely what my experience has been, too, that clear plastic warms up the soil between 7 and 13 degrees. Black plastic warms at only 5 degrees. And the thing about black plastic is it really needs to be right against the ground because the heat needs to be reflected right down in the soil. So these temperatures are 2 inches below the soil. We're not talking 6 inches down, 2 inches. And then the IRT is somewhere in between the clear and the black plastic as far as it's heating up soil temperatures.
Yeah, that surprises me. That's interesting.
Yeah, that's what they said. And that's why I use clear plastic under my zucchinis.
But it's
a pain to weed under it.
There is one more type of plastic I've experimented with, and it's a red.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And in terms of the light spectrum we were talking about with the lighting, it's supposed to be great for growing things like tomatoes to reflect more of that spectrum back up at the plants. But I didn't really notice a difference, and it was a little harder to work with. It was just something as a fun little garden trial.
And when the sites that I looked at said that the red plastic has had mixed results. Some people and some plants, some varieties of tomatoes respond better. So we are at the end of our time for this week, and so thank you very much, Sally, for coming in. We have a few more questions, so we will actually address those in another show coming up. So happy gardening, or actually happy looking through your
garden planning.
Garden planning at this point. Get your seeds ordered, and we'll talk to you soon.